the days that merit more praise than all the rest of the year. And welcome the nights that double delight, as well for the poor as the peer. Good fortune attend each merryman's friend that doth batter best that he may, forgetting old wrongs with carols and songs to drive the cold winter away. The court in all state now opens her gate and bids a free welcome to most. The city likewise, though somewhat precise, doth willingly part with her cost. And yet, by report from city and court, the country gets the day. More liquor is spent, and better content to drive the cold winter away. The gentry, therefore, cost do not spare, the yeomanry fast in Lent. The farmers and such think nothing too much if they keep but to pay their rent. The poorest of all, to merrily court, want bears but a little sway, for a song or a tale, but a pot of good ale, to drive the cold winter away. Thus none will allow of solitude now, but merrily greet the time, to make it appear of all the whole year, that this is accounted the prime. December is seen apparelled in green, and January fresh as May, comes a-dancing along with a cup and a song to drive the cold winter away. To mask and to mum, kind neighbours will come with wassails of nut brown ale, to drink and carouse to all in this house as merry as bucks in the pail. Cake, bread and cheese is brought for your feast to make you the longest stay. And the fire to warm will do you no harm to drive the cold winter away. When Christmas tide comes in like a bride with holly and ivy clad, 12 days in the year, much mirth and good cheer in every household is had. The country guise is then to devise some gamble of Christmas play, whereas the young men
so. Happy holidays! Welcome to the New World Witchery holiday season episode. We hope that you're having a lovely winter so far, or a gorgeous summer if you're in the southern hemisphere.
Tonight we'll have music, poetry, more music, stories, recipes, and, of course, more music. Our first three songs were All Hail to the Days, / To Drive the Cold Winter Away, by Harper's Hamper. After that you heard Dancing Day, A Virgin Most Pure, by Stephen Potvin and the Conbrio Choir, and O Come Emmanuel by Mary Ellen Kirk.
Up next, we'll have Avi Jerusalem by Kitka and Rise Up Bright Sun by Leslie Fish. We'll finish the set with The Huron Carol, sung by Tracy Helen. So make your cups of cocoa, hang your stockings with care, and put out a plate of cookies as New World Witchery raises the wassail bowl and toasts the holiday season.
rise up, bright sun. Bring back the days again, rise up, bright sun. Show us your face again. Come calling the leaves back into the trees. Come breaking the ice flows out of the seas. Rise up, bright sun. Rise up, bright sun. Give us your light again. Rise up, bright sun. Chase back the night again. Come driving the iron gray out of the sky. Come gather the winds and air them dry. Rise up, bright sun. Rise up, bright sun. Give us our lives again. Rise up, bright sun. Till spring arrives again. Come burning the snow to rivers of rain. Come turning the ice to oceans of rain. Rise up, bright sun. Children call to you, rise up, rise, son. Our futures fall to you. Forgive us the days forgotten to fear. We know it too well this time of the year. Rise up, rise, son. Rise up, rise, son. Rise up, rise, son.
Thank you.
The last three songs you heard were Green Groweth the Holly by the Pagan Carolers, The Holly Bears a Berry by Shira Common, and The Holly / The Witch's Dance by Harper's Hamper. Sort of a holly theme there for your holiday. Next up, we're going to have a rather funny and fun little story read by Lane. It originates with author Samuel Clemens, better known to most people as Mark Twain, and takes the form of a response letter from Santa Claus to a little girl. After that, we'll have a cocktail recipe from me, and then some more music.
Susie's Letter from Santa by Mark Twain. Palace of St. Nicholas, in the moon, Christmas morning. My dear Susie Clemens, I have received and read all the letters which you and your little sister have written me by the hand of your mother and your nurses. I have also read those which you little people have written me with your own hands, for although you did not use any characters that are in grown people's alphabet, you use the characters that all children in all lands on earth and in the twinkling stars use. And as all my subjects in the moon are children, and use no characters but that, you will easily understand that I can read your and your baby sister's jagged and fantastic marks without trouble at all. But I had trouble with those letters which you dictated through your mother and the nurses, for I am a foreigner and cannot read English writing well. You will find that I made no mistakes about the things which you and the baby ordered in your own letters. I went down your chimney at midnight, when you were asleep, and delivered them all myself, and kissed both of you two, because you were good children, well-trained, nice-mannered, and about the most obedient little people I ever saw. But in the letter which you dictated, there are some words that I could not make out for certain, and one or two small orders which I could not fill because we ran out of stock. Our last lot of kitchen furniture for dolls had just gone to a poor little child in the North Star, away up in the cold country, about the Big Dipper. Your mama can show you that star, and you will say, Little Snowflake, for that is the child's name. I'm glad you got that furniture, for you need it more than I. That is, you must write that with your own hand, and Snowflake will write you an answer. If only you spoke it, she wouldn't hear you. Make your letter light and thin, for the distance is great and the postage heavy. There was a word or two in your mama's letter which I couldn't be certain of. I took it to be a trunk full of doll's clothes. Is that it? I will call at your kitchen door about 9 o'clock this morning to inquire. But I must not see anybody and must not speak to anybody but you. When the kitchen doorbell rings, George must be blindfolded and sent to open the door. Then he must go back to the dining room or the china closet and take the cook with him. You must tell George that he must walk on tiptoe and not speak. Otherwise, he will die someday. Then you must go up to the nursery and stand on a chair or the nurse's bed and put your ear to the speaking tube that leads down to the kitchen. And when I whistle through it, you must speak in the tube and say, Welcome, Santa Claus! Then I will ask whether it was a trunk you ordered or not. If you say it was, I shall ask you what color you want the trunk to be. Your mama will help you name a nice color, and then you must tell me every single thing in detail. Then when I say goodbye and a Merry Christmas to my little Susie Clemens, you must say, Goodbye, good old Santa Claus. I thank you very much, and please tell Snowflake I will look at her star tonight, and she must look down here. I will be right in the West Bay window, and every fine night I will look at her star and say, I know somebody up there and like her too. Then you must go down into the library and make George close all the doors that open into the main hall, and everybody must keep still for a little while. I will go to the moon and get those things, and in a few minutes I will come down the chimney that belongs to the fireplace that is in the hall, if it is a trunk you want, because I couldn't get such a thing as a trunk down the nursery chimney, you know. People may talk if they want until they hear my footsteps in the hall. Then you tell them to keep quiet a little while till I go back up the chimney. Maybe you will not hear my footsteps at all. So you may go now and then and peep through the dining room doors, and by you will see that thing which you want right under the piano in the drawing room, for I shall put it there. If I should leave any snow in the hall, you must tell George to sweep it into the fireplace, for I haven't time to do such things. George must not use a broom, but a rag, else he will die someday. You must watch George and not let him run into danger. If my boot should leave a stain on the marble, George must not holy stone it away. Leave it there always in memory of my visit, and whenever you look at it or show it to anybody, you must let it remind you to be a good little girl. Whenever you are naughty and somebody points to that mark which your good old Santa Claus's boot made on the marble, what will you say, little sweetheart? Goodbye for a few minutes till I come down to the world and ring the kitchen doorbell. Your loving Santa Claus, whom some people sometimes call the Man in the Moon.
The After Five, a cocktail for the holidays. This is one that's become a new favorite of mine, and one that I found myself turning to more than once during this holiday season. It's a bit on the sweet side, but I'll also give you an alternative mix in that will help to make it a little stronger and a little less sweet at the end. All you need to do is take one shot of Irish cream liqueur, one shot of Kahlua, and a little more than half a shot of peppermint schnapps. Blend all these in a glass over ice and stir. Enjoy! If you do like a stronger drink, I suggest adding half a shot of vodka to the mix. It gives it a little bit more of a kick and a little bit more of a buzz on the back end. I hope you like it. Alright, up next we have I Saw Three Ships by Dusty Hughes. And then to sort of stay in line with that cocktail and drinking theme and keeping the holidays festive, we'll have a couple of boozier holiday songs. Tapster Drinker by Shira Kamen and Wassail by Innova Kantika.
Three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day in the morning. And what was in those ships all three on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day? And what was in those ships all three on Christmas Day in the morning? Our Savior Christ and His Lady on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Our Savior Christ and His Lady on Christmas Day in the morning. Brave weather sailed those ships all three on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Pray with her sail those ships all three on Christmas Day in the morning. Oh, they sailed into Bethlehem on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Oh, they sailed into Bethlehem on Christmas Day in the morning. And all the bells on earth shall ring on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. And all the bells on earth shall ring on Christmas Day in the morning. And all the angels in heaven shall sing on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. And all the angels in heaven shall sing on Christmas Day in the morning. And all the souls on earth shall sing on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. And all the souls on earth shall sing on Christmas Day in the morning. Then let us all rejoice and may on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Then let us all rejoice and may on Christmas Day in the morning.
Tapster, drinker, fill another ale, none have you do, God send us good ale. Have all the stock of ale, here is good ale food. Drink to me, ale to thee, and let the send us good ale. Have all the stock of ale, here is good ale food. Drink to me, and eat to thee, and let the cook.
Ginger pop. Sweep all our sails. The last two songs you heard were Sarsko Momche Konsedle by Kitka, which is a song from Bulgaria, and whose name I probably butchered horribly, so anyone who speaks Bulgarian out there, please don't throw rotten eggs at me. And following that, we had Chestnut Daphne Scotchcap from a group calling themselves Music for a Winter's Eve, from their album Bringing Light to the Darkness. Up next, we've got a Christmas story from none other than Charles Dickens. No, it's not that Christmas story by Charles Dickens, but it's one I think you'll like just the same. And after that, you'll get to hear a bit of Christmas poetry, read by Lane and me. Then we'll have another cocktail, and again, some more music. The story of the goblins who stole a sexton. The story of the goblins from the Pickwick Papers, sexton, by Charles Dickens. From the Pickwick Papers. By Charles Dickens. In an old abbey town down in this part of the country, a long, in an old long abbey while town ago, down in this part so of the long, country, the story long, must long be a true one because our great grandfathers so implicitly story believed must be a true one because our they officiated as sexton and gravedigger in the churchyard. They officiated as Gabriel sexton and gravedigger in the churchyard. It by no means Gabriel follows Grub. That because a man is a sexton, it by no means follows that because a man is a mortality, and constantly surrounded by a morose and melancholy man. Therefore, he should undertakers are the merriest fellows in the world, and I once had the honor of being on intimate terms with a mute, once had the honor of private life, intimate and off duty, was as comical and jocose a little fellow as ever chirped out a devil may care song, without ever chirped out a devil may care or drained off a good stiff glass without stopping for breath. But notwithstanding these precedents to the contrary, Gabriel Grubb was an ill-conditioned, cross-grained, Gabriel surly fellow, was an ill-conditioned, a morose and lonely fellow. Who consorted with nobody but himself in an old wicker bottle, who consorted with nobody fitted into his large deep waistcoat pocket, which fitted into his large deep waistcoat pocket, and who eyed each merry face as it passed him by with such a deep scowl of malice and ill humor, as it was difficult to meet without feeling something the worse for. A little before twilight, one Christmas Eve, Gabriel before shouldered his spade, lighted his lantern, and Gabriel took himself shouldered his spade, lighted his lantern, for he had got a grave to finish by the next morning. For he had got a grave and feeling to very low,
he thought it might raise his spirits.
And
perhaps,
feeling very low,
if he went on
he
with his work,
his spirits.
Once.
Perhaps if he went on
as
with
he
his
went
work,
his way up the ancient street, he saw the cheerful light of the blazing fires gleamed through the old casements.
He saw the cheerful light of the blazing
and he heard the loud laugh and
the cheerful shouts of those who were assembled.
And he heard the loud laugh and the cheerful shouts of those who were assembled.
He marked the bustling preparations for the next day's cheer and smelled
the numerous savory odors
for the next day's cheer.
And smelled the numerous savory odors.
They steamed up from the kitchen windows in clouds.
And they steamed up
all
the kitchen windows.
Was gall and wormwood to the heart of Gabriel Grubb.
Was gall and wormwood.
And when groups of children bounded out of the houses, tripped across the road, and when
children
before they could
knock at the opposite door by half a dozen men,
curly
headed
little
rascals,
who crowded round them as they flocked
upstairs to spend the evening in
Gabriel
the evening in their Christmas games, and clutched
Gabriel
the handle of
his spade
with a firmer grasp,
and clutched the handle of his spade with a firmer grasp,
thrush and
a thought of
measles,
and a good many other sources of consolation besides,
In this happy frame of mind, Gabriel strode along,
in this happy frame of mind,
Gabriel strode along, returning a short sullen
of his neighbors as now and then passed him.
Of his neighbors
until he turned
now
to the dark lane which led to the churchyard.
Now
Gabriel had been looking forward to reaching the dark lane because
now
it was
Gabriel
generally
had been looking
speaking
forward
a nice,
to reaching the dark lane
because
it was
generally
speaking
in
nice,
not much
gloomy,
care to go
place
except in broad daylight
not
when
much
the sun
care
was
to go.
Shining.
Except in broad daylight.
Consequently,
when the
he was not a little indignant to hear a young
consequently he was
roaring
not
out
a little
jolly song about a merry Christmas,
roaring out
a very
jolly
song about a
merry called Coffin Lane,
and
every sanctuary
old abbey
called Coffin Lane,
and
at the time
the shaven
old abbey. And at the time of the
as Gabriel walked on, and the voice drew nearer, he found
Gabriel
it
walked
from
on,
a small boy,
and the voice drew nearer,
who
he
was
found
hurrying
it
along
to
join
one
of the little parties in the old street,
who was hurrying along to
partly
join one of the
to keep himself company
and
partly
street,
to prepare himself for the occasion,
to keep himself
was shouting out the song at the highest pitch of his lungs,
was shouting out the song at the
so
highest pitch.
So Gabriel waited until the boy came up.
So
and then
Gabriel
dodged
waited
him
until
the
boy
and
came
him
up
over the head with his lantern
five or six
times,
and
just
him
to teach
over
him
the head
to
with his
lantern
his five or six times,
just to teach him.
And
to
as the boy hurried
his
away
voice.
With his hand to his head, singing quite a different.
And as
sort
the boy
of
hurried
tune,
away
Gabriel's
with his hand to his head,
chuckled
quite
very
a different
heartily
sort of
to himself,
Gabriel
and entered the churchyard,
chuckled very heartily
to himself, and entered the churchyard.
Locking the gate.
He took off his coat, set down his lantern, and getting into the unfinished grave.
He took off his coat,
set
down his
hour
or so with
getting
right
into the unfinished
will.
Grave, worked at it for
but
an
the
hour
earth was
or so
hardened
with
the
frost,
will.
And it was no very easy
but
matter
the earth
to break
hardened
up
with
to shovel
it
out.
And it was no very
and
easy
was
matter
a moon,
to bring
it very
shovel
it out
and shed little light
and although
the
there
grave,
was a moon,
it was
a
very young
shadow
and
shed
little light upon the grave.
At any other time, these obstacles would have made Gabriel Grubb very moody.
At any other time, these obstacles
so well
would have made Gabriel Grubb
very
moody
and
singing,
that
he
so well
pleased
little
heed of the
scanty
progress
he had made,
and looked down into the grave.
Progress he had made.
When he had finished work,
and looked down into
the
grim
satisfaction.
When he had
murmuring as he gathered up his things,
grim satisfaction.
Brave lodgings
murmuring
for
as he gathered
one,
up his things.
Brave lodgings
for
one.
None.
A few feet of cold earth when life is done.
A few feet of cold
earth. A stone at the head and
a stone at the
feet. A stone at the head and
a
stone
meal
for
the
worms to
eat,
rich
juicy
meal
for
the worms
to eat,
clay around
grass overhead,
lodgings for one
these
in holy ground,
lodgings for one
these
in holy ground,
laughed Gabriel Grubb, as he sat himself down on the flat tombstone,
Gabriel Grubb,
which was
as he sat himself down on the flat
tombstone,
drew forth his wicker
which was a favorite resting place,
a coffin at Christmas, a Christmas box,
a coffin at
Christmas, a Christmas box,
ho ho ho,
repeated a voice which sounded close behind him.
Gabriel paused in some alarm.
Gabriel paused
in the act of raising the wicker bottle to his lips and looked around. The bottom of the oldest grave about him was not more still and
the bottom of the oldest
grave about
him
was not more still and quiet than the
church. The cold hoarfrost glistened on the tombstones.
The cold hoarfrost like
glistened
on the tombstones.
Stone carvings
and sparkled like rows of gems among the stone carvings.
The snow lay hard and crisp upon the ground.
And
the
spread
snow
over
lay
the
hard
thickly strewn
mounds
ground,
of earth,
so and white
over
and smooth
the thickly
cover,
strewn mounds
that
of
it
earth,
seemed as if corpses
so white
lay
there,
hidden only
by their whining.
That it seemed as if corpses lay there, hidden
not
only
the faintest
by their
rustle broke
sheets.
The profound tranquility of
not
the
faintest
sea.
Rustle broke the profound tranquility.
Sound
of the
itself appeared
sea.
To be frozen up. All was
sound
so
itself appeared to be
still.
Frozen up.
All was so cold.
It was the echo.
Still,
said Gabriel Grubb.
It was the
raising
echo,
the bottle to his lips.
Said Gabriel Grubb.
It
raising
was
the bottle to
not.
His lips again.
It was not.
Gabriel started up and stood rooted to the spot with astonishment and terror.
His eyes rested on a form that made his blood run cold.
His eyes rested on a form
seated upright on a tombstone close to him was a strange unearthly figure.
Gabriel felt at once
a strange
no being
of this world.
Gabriel felt at once
his long fantastic legs, which might have reached the ground, were
his long fantastic legs might have reached the ground
fantastic fashion.
And crossed after a
his
quaint,
sinewy arms
fashion.
Were bare, and his hands rested on his knees.
His sinewy arms were
on a
bare,
short
and
round
his
body
rested
he wore
on
a close covering.
On his short round
with
body,
small
he wore
sessions.
A close covering.
A short
ornament
cloak dangled
small
at his back.
Sessions.
The collar was cut.
A short
curious
cloak dangled at his back.
The collar
which served
was
the
cut
goblin
into
in
lieu
of a ruff
or a neckerchief.
Which served the goblin in
and his
lieu
shoes
of a ruff
curled up at his toes
and long points.
And his shoes curled up at his
on
toes.
On his head he wore a broad-brimmed sugarloaf hat,
garnished with
on his
a
head
single
he wore
feather.
A broad-brimmed sugarloaf hat.
The hat was covered with white frost,
and the goblin looked around it as if he had sat on
white
tombstone. And the goblin looked around
the goblin looked
as if he had sat on the same tombstone very comfortably.
And the goblin looked
as if he had
sat on the same tombstone very comfortably for 2 or 3 years.
He was sitting perfectly still. His tongue was put out as if
he was sitting perfectly still. His tongue was put out
as if in derision.
Such a grin as only.
He was grinning at Gabriel Grubb with such a grin as
it was not echoes.
It was
said the
not
goblin. Echoes,
said the goblin. Gabriel Grubb was paralyzed and could make no reply. Gabriel Grubb
what
was
do
paralyzed
you do
and
here
no
on a Christmas Eve?
What do you do
stirring.
Here on a Christmas Eve?
I came to dig a grave, stirring. Sir.
Stammered
I
Gabriel
came
Grubb.
To dig a grave, sir.
What man
Stammered
wanders
Grubb.
Among the graves and
what
churchyards
man wanders
among
this,
the graves and
churchyards on such a night?
Gabriel Grubb!
Cried the
Gabriel Grubb! Gabriel Grubb! Gabriel Grubb!
Fill the church
a wild chorus of voices.
Gabriel looked fearfully around.
Nothing.
Gabriel looked fearfully around. Nothing.
What have you got in that bottle?
Said the goblin.
What have you got in
Holland,
that bottle?
Sir,
said the goblin.
Replied the sexton.
Holland, sir.
More than ever. Replied the sexton.
For he had bought it of the smugglers, and he thought that perhaps
his
questioner
might
be in the excise department.
Perhaps his questioner might be in the excise
department. Who drinks Hollands alone in a churchyard on a night such
who
as this?
Who drinks Hollands
alone in a churchyard
Gabriel
on a night
Grubb.
Such as this?
Gabriel Grubb!
Gabriel Grubb!
Gabriel
Grubb!
Gabriel Grubb!
The goblin leered maliciously at the terrified sexton.
The goblin
and then
leered
raising
maliciously
his voice
at the
terrified sexton.
And who
and then
then
raising
is
his
our
voice
fair
and lawful
and
prize?
Who then is our fair
to this
and
inquiry,
lawful
the invisible
prize.
Chorus replied in a strain that
to this
sounded
inquiry,
like the
invisible chorus replied,
of many choristers
a strain
singing
that sounded
like
the
mighty swell
of
the
of
old
many
church
choristers
organ. Singing
the
strain
that seemed
born
to the
sexton's
organ.
Ears upon a wild
strain
wind
seemed
to
die
away
as
sexton's ears upon a wild wind,
but
the
burden
of the reply
onward
still,
but the burden
of the reply,
Gabriel Grubb. Gabriel Grubb! Gabriel Grubb!
The goblin grinned a broader grin than he
the goblin
had before and said,
a broader grin
well,
than
Gabriel,
had before and
what
said,
do you say to
well,
this?
Gabriel?
What the sexton gasped for breath.
What do you
the
think of this,
Gabriel?
Breath,
said the goblin, kicking
what
up his
do you
feet
think of this,
in the air
Gabriel?
On either side
said
of the goblin, kicking up
his
feet
that
turned the air
points.
On either side of the
with as much complacency as
he
turned up
contemplating the most
fashionable
pair
of Wellingtons
in Old Bond
contemplating the most fashionable pair of Wellingtons in Old Bond Street.
Very curious,
it's,
sir,
it's,
replied the sexton.
Very curious, sir.
Very curious,
replied the sexton.
Very pretty. But
very
I think
curious.
I'll go back and finish my
very
work,
pretty.
Sir, if you please.
But I think I'll go back and finish
work?
My work, sir, if you please.
Said the goblin.
What work? Said the goblin.
The grave,
what
sir.
Work?
Making the grave.
Stammered the sexton.
The grave, sir.
Oh,
making
the
grave. Stammered
grave.
The sexton. Said the goblin.
Oh, the grave.
Who makes graves at a time when all other men
who
are
makes
merry?
Graves
and
at
takes
a time when all
it.
Other men are merry?
Again, the mysterious voices replied.
In it. Gabriel
again,
Grubb.
The mysterious voices replied.
Gabriel Grubb.
I'm afraid my hands
Grubb.
Want you, Gabriel, said the goblin.
I'm afraid my
hands want
farther
you, Gabriel,
into his cheek than ever,
said the goblin, thrusting
and
his
and
most
astonishing cheek than
was. And a most
I'm afraid my friends want you,
was.
Gabriel, said the goblin. I'm afraid my friends want you, Gabriel,
favor,
said the goblin.
Replied the horror-stricken sexton.
Oh, under favor,
think
sir.
They can, sir, they
the
don't know me.
Stricken sexton.
Sir, I don't think these gentlemen have ever seen me,
sir.
Sir, I don't think these gentlemen have ever seen
yes,
me, sir.
Yes, they have, replied the goblin.
Oh, yes, they have,
the man with a sulky
goblin.
Face and a grim scowl.
We know
the man with a sulky
came
face
down the street
and a grim
tonight,
scowl.
Throwing his evil
that
looks
came
at children.
Down the street tonight,
and
throwing his
grasping
evil
his burying spade the tighter.
And grasping his
we
burying
know
spade
the tighter.
The struck
the
boy in the envious
we
malice
know the
of his
man
heart.
Who struck the
because
boy
the
in
boy
the envious
could be merry and
he could
not.
Because the boy could be merry and he could not.
We know him.
We know him.
We
hear the goblin
him.
Gave a loud, shrill laugh.
Hear the goblin
which
gave
the
loud,
echoes returned
shrill
twentyfold,
laugh,
and throwing his legs
the
up in the air, stood upon his head, or rather,
throwing
his
legs
up in the air, stood upon
a sugarloaf
hat, or rather, upon the very point
on
of
the narrow edge
of
the sugarloaf hat,
whence he threw a
on the narrow edge of the tombstone,
with extraordinary agility, whence he threw a somerset
right
into the sexton's
with extraordinary
feet,
agility,
at which he planted
right
himself
the
in the attitude
feet,
at which tailors generally
at which he planted himself in the attitude at which tailors generally sit.
I am afraid I must leave you, sir.
Said the sexton,
I am afraid I must leave you, sir.
Leave
said
us,
the sexton, making an
said the
effort
goblin.
To move.
Gabriel
is going
to leave
Gabriel
us. Gabriel is going to leave us.
As the goblin laughed, the sexton observed for one instant
as the goblin laughed,
brilliant illumination with the windows of the church.
Brilliant illumination with
the windows of the church.
As
it disappeared, and the organ
up
pealed forth a lively
it
air.
It disappeared, and
the
organ
whole troop
pealed
of
forth
goblins,
a lively
the very
air.
Counterpart of the first
the whole troop of goblins
poured into
the very
churchyard
and
began playing
at
leapfrog
with
the
poured
into
the
churchyard,
never
stopping
for an instant
with
the
tombstones,
but over
the highest
among
them,
to
take
one after the other,
over
the highest
dexterity,
one after the other.
The first goblin was a most astonishing leaper, and none of the others could
the first goblin was a most astonishing
extremity of his terror. The sexton could not
even
observe
extremity of his terror.
His friends
could not
leap
over common
sized graves.
That while his friend,
the first one,
took over
family
vaults,
iron railings, and all,
first one
with as much
family
ease
vaults,
as if they had been so many street
with
posts,
as much ease as if they had been so many street
at last posts. The game reached a most exciting pitch. The organ played
at
quicker
last
the game
and quicker,
reached a most
and the
goblins
leaped
the
faster,
organ
faster
and
quicker,
and coiling themselves,
and the goblins
leaped
rolling
faster,
head over heels
faster,
on the ground,
coiling them,
bounding
over
the
tombstone,
rolling head
over
heels
on
the
ground and bounding over the tombstone.
The sexton's brain whirled round with the rapidity of the motion.
The sexton's
he
brain
held,
whirled round,
his legs reeled beneath him
in motion
as the spirits flew before
his legs
his
reeled
eyes,
beneath him
when
as the spirits
the goblin
before his
eyes when
suddenly darting
toward the goblin king
laid his hand
suddenly
upon
darting
collar
and
sank
with
his
hand
through
the
earth
collar
and sank with him
through
when Gabriel
Grubb
had time to fetch his breath.
When
which
Gabriel
Grubb
had time
to
fetch his breath,
had for the moment taken away,
which the rapidity
he found
of
himself in what
had appeared
a moment
to
be a taken
large
away,
cavern.
He found himself
surrounded
on all sides by crowds
cavern,
of goblins.
Surrounded
on all sides by crowds of goblins.
In the center of the room
ugly
on an elevated seat
grim
was stationed his friend.
In the center
churchyard
of the room on an elevated seat was
and
stationed
close behind
his
him
the
churchyard.
Gabriel Grubb himself.
And close behind him
without
stood
power
Gabriel Grubb
of
himself. Without power.
Cold tonight, said the king of the goblins.
Very
cold
tonight,
said the king of
a
the goblins.
A glass of something
very
warm
cold
here. A glass of something
at this
warm
command, half
here
a dozen officious goblins with perpetual
at this command,
smiles
half
upon
a dozen
faces,
officious goblins
with whom
with
Gabriel
Grubb
imagined their faces.
Whom
Gabriel
Grubb
imagined
on that
account. Whom
Gabriel
hastily
Grubb
disappeared
and presently
returned
the goblin
of liquid
hastily
fire.
Hastily disappeared and
which they
presented
returned
the goblin
of liquid fire.
Which they presented
to the king,
cried the goblin, whose cheeks and throat
ah,
were transparent.
Cried the goblin, whose cheeks
the flame
and throat were transparent.
This warms one
indeed.
Bring a bumper of the same.
For Mr. Grubb,
bring a bumper of the same.
It was in vain
for
Mr.
Grubb,
sexton,
to
protest that
it was
he was
in vain
not in the habit of taking
sexton,
warm
to protest
night
that he was not.
One
in
of the goblins held him while another poured the blazing liquid down.
One of the goblins
held
him while
another poured the blazing liquid
with
laughter
as
he
coughed
and choked
and
wiped away the tears.
Screeching with laughter,
gushed plentifully from his eyes,
wiped away
the
swallowing the burning draught.
Gushed plentifully from his eyes, to swallow.
And now, said the king, fantastically poking the
tapered
corner of
the
sugar loaf hat into
sexton's
eye,
and thereby
occasioning him
the most
exquisite
pain,
and thereby occasioning
now, show
pain
the man of misery.
And now, show
a
the
few
man
of
misery
from our own great
a few of the pictures from our own.
As the goblin said this, a thick
storehouse
cloud which obscured the remoter end
as
of the cavern
said
rolled
this,
gradually
cloud
away,
obscured the remoter end of the
apparently
cavern
at a great distance, small
away,
and scantily furnished, but apparently at a great distance, a small and scantily furnished, but
a crowd of little
clean
children were gathered round a bright fire, clinging to their mother's
children were gathered round
and
a gambling
fire,
around
clinging
to their mother's gown.
The mother occasionally
rose and drew aside the window curtain as if
the mother occasionally
rose
and drew aside
the window curtain as if
a frugal meal was
ready
spit
spread upon
a frugal meal was ready
and an elbow chair
spit
was placed
spread
near
upon
the
table.
Fire and an elbow chair was placed
a knock was
near
heard at the door.
The mother opened it,
and
the children crowded
around her and clasped their hands.
The mother
for joy
opened it,
as
and the children crowded
around
her and clasped
he was wet
their hands
and
for
weary,
joy as their
and
father
shook the snow from his garments.
He was wet and
as
weary,
the children crowded
round
snow
him
from his garments,
and seizing his cloak,
as the children
hat,
crowded
gloves
him,
with busy zeal,
and seizing his
ran
cloak,
with them from
hat,
the room,
sticking gloves with busy zeal.
Then as he sat
ran
down to
them
his meal
before
room
the fire, the children climbed
then
about
as he sat
his
down
knee
to his meal before the fire,
and the mother sat by his
about his knee,
and all seemed
and the mother sat by his side
and comfort,
and all seemed
happiness,
but
and comfort.
A change came upon the view,
but
almost imperceptibly.
A change came upon the view.
The scene
almost
was altered to a small bedroom where the fairest and youngest
the
child lay dying.
The scene was altered to a small bedroom where
the
fairest the
roses
and youngest child
lay
dying.
Cheek.
And the light
the roses
from his
had
eye
fled from his cheek.
And even as the sexton
the
looked upon
eye
him with an interest he had never
and
felt
even as the sexton
known
looked upon him with an interest he had never
he
felt or known.
His young brothers
he
and
died
sisters crowded round the little bed.
His young brothers
seized
and
sisters
tiny hand
crowded
so
round
cold
the little
heavy
bed.
Seized his tiny hand,
but they shrank
so
back
cold
from
its
touch
and looked with
awe
on his infant face.
and looked with awe.
For calm and tranquil as it was,
and sleeping in rest and peace.
For calm and tranquil as it was,
the beautiful child seemed to be, they saw that he was dead.
The beautiful child seemed to be,
and they knew that he was an angel,
looking down upon and blessing.
He was an angel
from a bright,
looking down upon
and blessing them.
From a bright and happy heaven.
Again the light cloud passed across the picture, and again the,
again, the light
changed.
Cloud passed across
the father and mother were old and helpless now, and the number of those about them
the father and mother were diminished old and
more than
now,
and the number of those about them were
but content and cheerfulness sat half.
On every face and beamed
but
in every eye.
But content and cheerfulness sat
as they crowded round the fireside
and every eye.
Listened to old stories.
They crowded round the fireside
of earlier
and told
and bygone
old
days.
Stories
of earlier
slowly
and bygone days. The father sank
slowly
into the grave
peacefully.
And soon after, the sharer of all his cares and troubles followed him.
And soon after, the sharer of all his cares and troubles followed him.
The few who yet survived them kneeled by their tomb.
The few who yet survived
them
kneeled by their tomb
with their tears.
And watered the green turf with cover.
Then rose and turned away
their tears,
sadly and mournfully.
Then rose
with bitter cries or despair.
Sadly and mournfully,
but not with bitter
cries. For they knew that they should one day meet again.
For they knew that
they
should one day
meet again.
The busy world and their content
more
than
mixed with the busy world restored,
and their content and cheerfulness.
The cloud settled upon the picture and concealed it from the sexton's view.
The cloud settled upon the picture and concealed it.
What do you think of that?
Said the goblin, turning his large face towards
Gabriel
Grubb.
What do you think of that?
Said the goblin, turning his
large face. Gabriel murmured out something about its being very pretty.
Gabriel murmured out something about its being very pretty.
The goblin bent his fiery eyes.
And looked somewhat ashamed as the goblin bent
his
fiery eyes.
You miserable man!
You miserable man! Said the goblin in a tone of excessive contempt.
He appeared disposed to add more.
But his indignation disposed to add more.
But so he lifted up one of his very pliable legs and flourishing it above
his little head.
One of his very pliable legs and flourishing it above his little head.
Kick
to ensure his aim administered good.
Immediately after which,
all the goblins in waiting crowded round the wretched sexton
and kicked him without mercy,
according to the established
and invariable custom of courtiers,
according to the established and invariable custom of courtiers upon the earth,
and hug
to
whom royalty kicks.
And hug.
Show him some more,
replied the king of goblins.
Show him some more.
At these words, the cloud was dispelled, and a rich and beautiful landscape.
At these words, the cloud was dispelled, and a rich and beautiful landscape.
There is just such another to this day within half a mile of the old abbey.
There is just such another to this day within half a mile.
The sun shone from out the clear blue sky.
The sun shone from out the clear blue sky.
The trees looked greener.
Water sparkled beneath his rays.
And the trees
beneath its cheerful, cheering influence.
Beneath its cheerful,
the water rippled on with a pleasant sound.
The water
trees
rustled
upon
in
the
light
pleasant
wind.
Sound
that murmured amongst
the trees
their
rustled
leaves.
In the light
and the birds
wind
sang upon
that
the
murmured
boughs.
Amongst their leaves
and the lark caroled on high her welcome to the morning.
And the lark caroled
yes,
on high
it was
her welcome to the morning.
The bright balmy morning
yes,
of
it
summer.
Was morning.
The minutest
the bright,
leaf, the smallest blade
of
grass
was instinct.
The minutest
flight.
Leaf, the smallest blade
the
of
ant
grass
crept forth
was
on her daily toil.
Life.
The butterfly fluttered
the
and basked on the warm rays
toil.
Of the sun.
The butterfly
myriads
fluttered
of
and basked on the warm rays of the sun.
Transparent wings
myriads
and
of insects
brief but happy
their
existence.
Transparent wings and rebelled
man
in their
walked
brief
forth,
but elated
happy
with
existence.
The scene.
Man walked forth,
was
elated by the scene.
And splendor.
And was all bright.
You
and splendor.
Miserable man!
Said the
you
king of goblins,
a miserable
in a more contemptuous tone than
the
before.
Goblins.
And the king of goblins gave his leg a flourish, and again it descended on the shoulders.
The king of goblins gave his leg
a flourish,
and again
it imitated
the example
of the chief.
Again, the attendant goblins.
Many a time the cloud came and went. Many a lesson it taught.
Many a time the cloud came and went.
Who, although his shoulders smarted with pain from the frequent applications of the goblins' feet thereunto,
looked on with an interest that nothing could diminish.
Looked on with an interest
he saw
that
the men who
diminish.
Worked hard and earned their scanty bread
he saw
with the lives of labor
hard
were cheerful
and
happy.
Scanty bread with the lives
and
of labor
the most
cheerful and sweet face of nature was
the
never failing
source
of cheerfulness
sweet face of nature
was never failing source
he saw that
of
those
and
who had been delicately nurtured and tenderly brought
saw
up
those
cheerful under privation
delicately nurtured
and
tenderly
superior
brought
to suffering
cheerful under
that would have crushed many a rougher man because they bore with their
crushed
many
a rougher man because they bore with
contentment and peace
the materials of happiness
he saw that women
contentment and
tenderest and most fragile of all
God's he saw that women,
were oftenest
the
tenderest
and
most fragile
of all
God's creation,
were oftenest
the superior in sorrow, adversity,
and he
and
saw that it was because they bore in their own hearts the
inexhaustible
and wellspring
of affection and devotion.
Inexhaustible wellspring.
Above all, he saw that men like himself who snarled
above
at
all, he saw that men
others,
like himself
were the foulest weeds
of
the fair
surface
of
the
earth,
were
the
foulest
setting
all the good
of
the world
against
the evil.
And he came to the conclusion that
it
was very decent and respectable sort of
he came to the conclusion that
it was very decent and
respectable. No sooner had he formed it than
that
cloud which had
closed
no sooner
over the last
had he
picture
seemed
to
settle
on
his
cloud,
senses
had
closed over the last
picture
repose.
Seemed to settle on his senses and
one by one the goblins faded from sight and as the last one
by one the goblins faded from
his
sight
and as the last one disappeared he sank into
the day had broken when Gabriel Grubb awoke and found himself lying at full
the day had broken when
flat
Gabriel
Grubb awoke
and found himself
with
lying
the bottle
at full length
empty
by
his
side
gravestone of the church
and his coat spade and lantern all well
whitened by the last night's frost
scattered upon the ground
by the last night's frost The stone on which he had first seen the goblin seated stood bolt upright.
The stone on which he had first seen the goblin seated.
The grave which he had worked up the night before was not far off.
And the grave which he had worked.
At first he began to doubt the reality of his adventures, but the
first he began to doubt the reality of his adventures. But the
assured him the kicking of the goblin was certainly not.
Assured him the kicking of the goblin.
He was staggered again by observing no traces of footsteps.
He was staggered again by observing no traces
at least footsteps of the stone on which the goblins had played.
But he speedily accounted for the circumstance.
We remembered that being spirits,
he speedily accounted for the
circumstance. We remembered that being spirits, they would.
So Gabriel Grubb got on his feet as well as he could.
So Gabriel Grubb got on his feet
and brushing the frost off his coat
and put it on his back.
Turned his face
and brushing the frost off his coat.
But he was an altered man.
His face towards the town.
And he could not bear the thought of returning to a place which repentance would be scoffed at.
Returning to a place
and his reformation would be scoffed at.
He hesitated for a few moments and then turned away to wander where he.
He hesitated for a few moments
and then turned away to wander where
the lantern, the spade, and the wicker bottles were found that day in the churchyard.
The lantern, the spade, and
were a great many speculations about the sexton's fate at first, but it was speedily determined that he had been carried away by the goblins.
But it was speedily determined that he had.
And there were not wanting some very credible witnesses,
and there were not wanting some very credible witnesses.
A chestnut horse blinded one eye with the hind quarters of a lion.
A chestnut horse blinded one eye with the hind quarters of a lion.
At length, all of this was devoutly believed.
And the new sexton,
at length, all of this was devoutly believed.
To the curious sexton, for a trifling emolument,
a good-sized piece of the church weather clock,
which had been accidentally kicked off by the aforesaid horse,
which had been accidentally kicked off by the
picked up by himself in the churchyard the year or two afterwards,
and picked up by himself in the churchyard.
Unfortunately, these stories were somewhat disturbed by the unlooked for reappearance of Gabriel,
a ragged, contented, rheumatic old man.
A ragged.
He told a story to the clergyman and also to the mayor,
and in course of time began to receive as matter of history,
and in course of time began to receive as matter of history.
In which form
the believers in the weather cocktail have misplaced the confidence.
The believers in the weather cocktail have misplaced it again.
So they looked as wise as they could, shrugged their shoulders,
touched their foreheads,
looked as wise as they could, shrugged their shoulders,
and drunk all the Hollands and fallen asleep on the flat tombstone.
Drunk all the Hollands
and they affected to explain what he had supposed he had witnessed.
They affected to explain by saying
what he had seen he had witnessed in the Goblin's Cavern by saying that he had seen the world.
But this opinion, which was by no means a popular one at any time,
which was by no means a popular one,
and be that as Gabriel Grubb was.
And be that how
to the end of his
days, Gabriel Grubb was
the story has at least one moral
to the end of his days.
If it teaches no better one moral,
and that is,
if it teaches no
man turns sulky and drink by himself at Christmas time,
if a man turns sulky and drink by himself at Christmas time,
the better
may make up his mind to be not
the spirits be never so good for it,
or let them be even as many degrees beyond proof,
or let them be even as many degrees beyond proof.
Saw in the Goblin's
Cavern those which Gabriel Grubb saw
in the Goblin's Cavern.
The end.
The Boy Who Laughed at Santa Claus by Ogden Nash. In Baltimore there lived a boy. He wasn't anybody's joy. Although his name was Jabez Dawes, his character was full of flaws.
In school he never led his classes. He hid old ladies' reading glasses. His mouth was open when he chewed, and elbows to the table glued. He stole the milk of hungry kittens and walked through doors marked no admittance. He said he acted this way because there wasn't any Santa Claus.
Another trick that tickled Jabez was crying boo at little babies. He brushed his teeth, they said in town, sideways instead of up and down. Yet people pardoned every sin and viewed his antics with a grin, till they were told by Jabez Dawes, there isn't any Santa Claus.
Deploring how he did behave, his parents swiftly sought their grave. They hurled through the portals pearly, and Jabez left the funeral early.
Like whooping cough from child to child, he sped to spread the rumor wild. Sure as my name is Jabez Dawes, there isn't any Santa Claus. Slunk like a weasel of a Martin through nursery and kindergarten, whispering low to every tot, there isn't any, no there's not.
The children wept all Christmas Eve, and Jabez chortled up his sleeve. No infant dared hang up his stocking for fear of Jabez's ribald mocking.
He sprawled on his untidy bed, fresh malice dancing in his head, when presently, with scalp a-tingling, Jabez heard a distant jingling. He heard the crunch of sleighing hoof, crisply alighting on the roof. What good to rise and bar the door? A shower of soot was on the floor.
What was beheld by Jabez Dawes? The fireplace full of Santa Claus. Then Jabez fell upon his knees with cries of don't and pretty please. He howled, I don't know where you read it, but anyhow I never said it. Jabez, replied the angry saint, it isn't I, it's you that ain't. Although there is a Santa Claus, there isn't any Jabez Dawes.
Said Jabez then with impudent vim, Oh, yes, there is, and I am him. Your magic don't scare me, it doesn't. And suddenly, he found he wasn't. From grimy feet to grimy locks, Jabez became a jack-in-the-box, an ugly toy with springs unsprung, forever sticking out his tongue.
The neighbors heard his mournful squeal. They searched for him, but not with zeal. No trace was found of Jabez Dawes, which led to thunderous applause. And people drank a loving cup, and went and hung their stockings up.
All you who sneer at Santa Claus, beware the fate of Jabez Dawes, the saucy boy who mocked the saint. Donner and Blitzen licked off his paint.
Another Christmas cocktail. This one is called the Amber Dream, although my wife and I like to call it winter beer. Take 2 ounces of whiskey and 1.5 ounces of peppermint schnapps and pour over ice in a highball glass. Top with fizzy ginger ale. Stir gently, drink, and enjoy. It sounds a little weird, but it tastes amazing. All right, up next we've got 4 songs. The first one is called The Blood Red Rose at Yule by the group Music for Winter's Eve, who you heard at the end of the last set. After that will be Nu Zit Welkome, I'm probably killing that pronunciation as well, but there you are, by Ralph Rousseau Muhlenbrooks. Then you'll have We Three Kings by Jennifer Avalon, and then Wheel of the Year by Shira Common.
Thank you. harvest of far, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star, the star. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over a soul to reign. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising all men raising, worship him God most high. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light, thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breathes the life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God in sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heaven replies. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light, thy perfect light, thy perfect light, thy perfect light.
Bottom to the top, and the wheel of the year goes round and round. Our thanks to yonder good gray knight, who bends his neck to the cutting of the scythe. For all that liveth feed on death, all things that dieth serve the cause of life. And the wheel of the year goes round and round, the wheel of the year goes round. Turns top to the bottom and the bottom to the top, and the wheel of the year goes round and round.
A Brief History of the Candle in the Window at Christmas Time, taken from the site Fantasy Ireland. The candle in the window is a common Christmas decoration in Ireland. The candle in the window on Christmas symbolizes many things, but the oldest is the most important of all. It is a symbolic gesture to those ancient travelers who could find no shelter, that there is room in this home for them and the coming child. The candle in the window, still the favorite traditional Irish Christmas decoration, harkens back to that ancient Christmas Eve, when Mary and Joseph could find no shelter. It is a symbol of Irish hospitality, their way of welcoming Mary and Joseph, and any travelers who might happen to pass by looking for a warm place to stay. In the days when it was illegal and dangerous to practice the Catholic faith in Ireland because of the oppressive penal laws, the candles seen in the windows of Irish homes at Christmas also signaled traveling priests that this was a home where they would be welcome and where they could safely conduct the traditional Irish Catholic Christmas Mass. After dinner on Christmas Eve, the table is set again with bread and milk. Then the youngest member of the household is given the honor of striking the ceremonial match and lighting a very large candle to be placed in the front window. Later, when it is time to extinguish the flame, only a girl named Mary is supposed to have that honor. Some carry out an alternative to this custom and have someone named Mary light the candle. Then have the youngest blow it out. Perhaps this modern twist is better for those safety-conscious parents out there who really don't want their youngest child lighting a match at all, no matter what the tradition says. Blowing a candle out is, after all, much safer than lighting one. If you were interested in incorporating the candle in the window symbolism and methodology into your own Christmas celebration, you can do so and add a magical touch to your activity. One tradition suggests that you can place a candle in the window with a ribbon tied around the base of the candlestick or around the outside of a candle in the case of a jar candle, with a color corresponding to whatever it is that you're trying to draw in. In many cases, people would put a black ribbon around a candle to signal that this is a place where the souls of the departed could come and take rest on their road to heaven or the afterlife. In other cases, however, you might consider putting a green ribbon around the candle to invite prosperity in, as well as any wandering travelers that might be coming by. Or perhaps you would put a red ribbon around the candle to invite love. Whatever you choose to invite into your life, I also highly suggest that you do as the Irish and as so many other cultures do on Christmas Eve, and leave your front door unlocked and make an extra place at the table. After all, if you do have a weary traveler that's drawn by the light in your window, you'd certainly want to be able to show full hospitality to them, right?
And now, Lane's Holiday Eggnog. Add 1 quart Mayfield eggnog to bowl. Mix with any amount of bathtub gin desired. For extra fanciness, add 2 moose cup. Enjoy!
Robin, take your flute and come. When we hear the music play, tira-loo-ra-loo, pat-a-pat-a-pan. When we hear the music play, Noel, Noel, we say. Long ago was born a king, to him we now do sing.
play your music sweet and clear. Tooraloo-raloo, hat-a-pat-a-pan, play your music sweet and clear, sounding Noel's of good cheer. He was born on Christmas Day, celebrate with us, come play. Let the music sound again, tooraloo-raloo, pat-a-pat-a-pan. Let the music sound again, Merry Christmas to all men.
Have the mystery.
That was Patapan by Fugly, and then Twelfth Eve Christmas Cheer and Chestnut Vagary by Harper's Hamper. We ended that set with Shira Commons' La Brandivine.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, please follow the links in our show notes to find the artists and learn more about and or purchase some of their music. This holiday season has come and gone very quickly, but it's our great wish that you have the time to enjoy a peaceful holiday season with your loved ones. If you happen to have this show on in the background, even better!
In all seriousness, best wishes for a gorgeous holiday and lots of love to share with everyone.
We'll close the show with a perennial New World Witchery favorite, Da Day Dawn, by Samantha Galogli. Please feel free to write us anytime at
compassandkey@gmail.com,
or you can find us on the blog at newworldwitchery.com.
Holly jollies to you, and thanks for listening.
Be well.
Isn't that great?
Oh, that was cute.
Yep.
Awesome.
That's it.